Welcome to Being Bipolar. I'm your host, Doobie. I'm going to introduce you into my madness, and hopefully it'll help you with yours. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special edition of Being Bipolar, brought to you by Doobie. And today we're going to talk about the legend, the great Scott Holm, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. I'm going to bring you the legend that I truly was a part of. All right. Mr. Scott Holm. Now, in the Southwest Iowa regime, the music world, Scott is a legend. But I'm going to tell you about when I came into the picture. Now, Mr. Holm, let's start this off right. I got to Iowa, started hanging out with my cousin's friends, and I actually hooked up with one of her exes. Shannon and I became cool, close. I started living with him in his apartment above this bar. Now, the apartment was a one bedroom with a big living room, nice kitchen area, and a back porch. Now, at the time, I didn't know there was actual access to this back porch. And anybody could actually climb up the back, and voila, you're there. So, I'm sleeping on the couch 2 weeks into living here. I wake up in the morning, and there's this dude. Now, I'm going to give you a visual here. If anybody has seen The Crow, okay, at the time, Scott looked just like Brandon Lee. I mean, uncanny. The hair, the body, and Scott, come to find out, was really, really good at martial arts. So, anyways, he's sitting on this chair, and I don't know him. And it was a rough night. I'm waking up, and, you know, The Crow is sitting in a chair looking at me. Now, most people would get freaked out about that, but, you know, I considered the people that I was surrounded by, it was comical. So, you know, we got to shooting the shit, and I come to find out who he is, and, you know, he and I were hanging around with the same people. I mean, we had Shannon in the one bedroom sleeping. He got the bedroom. Then I had Jonesy on one couch, and then me on the other. So, it didn't really freak me out too much. But, and he noticed my guitar that was in a corner. At the time, I was actually playing the Jackson Dinky Reverse. And we got to talking more and more about it, and he told me that about his favorite guitar at the time was the Vandenberg, the Peavey. And he was borrowing one of his band members' version of the Vandenberg. He played rhythm and then some pianos, you know. He was a really gifted musician because he was able to go different, you know, in the basement in his house. He had a drum kit set up for practice and pianos and organs. It was great setup. But this dude sitting on the chair staring at me. I'm on the couch. Jonesy's snoring away with some chick whose body is completely uncovered. But that was normal for Jonesy. We never really knew. I think this one was actually a nurse. But anyway, we were shooting the shit while they were still sleeping. Everybody gets up, and Jonesy and his girlfriend at the time, or whatever, one-nighter, made breakfast, you know, and it was actually a great morning. So that was my introduction to the great Scott Holm. Now, we started hanging out more. I mean, we clicked pretty damn good. You know, I personally thought so. I mean, I would go over to his work at the Great Subway of Red Oak, Iowa. It should have a sign stating the legendary, the great Scott Holm worked here. And I tell you what, I think Scott fed half of Red Oak without paying for it. But I'm not going to say anything about that. Oops. Sorry, Scott. But it was a really tight community of the same age group of these guys grew up together. They all know each other. And they accepted me into their tribe, well, because of probably the fear of pissing off my cousin. My cousin Amy at the time, man, whew, sweetheart, I swear, heart of gold. But you don't want to make her mad. Yeah, like her mother. But because of Amy, I was introduced to so many great people. And Scott helped me even further. He introduced me into the music world of Red Oak. And to that, I will always be grateful. Because, I mean, we're talking about Skinny Webb, man. The first night I was helping Scott's band up there, I was working around the soundboard. And then all of a sudden, Skinny and his girlfriend at the time, Lisa, who I later find out is my cousin. Side note, I have heavy family in the Red Oak area, Elliott area. Anyway, it was just, I was working on the soundboard. They walked up. It was like, Skinny had this long hair and he looked the rock god. All right. But it was beautiful, period. But Lisa and I were like butting heads on the soundboard. There was a particular way that Kurt wanted it done, especially with Kevin. Now, Kevin Smith, another legend, okay, a great voice. So, we butted heads, and, you know, I stepped aside because, you know, an angry woman in Red Oak, Iowa is not a good idea. And I think the name of the bar was Night Moves. I'm not quite sure. Night something. But that was my introduction to Skinny. This guy, so impressive at the time. I'm listening to him play. The first song that I really enjoyed listening him while he was playing was a Whitesnake song, Slow and Easy. And it was like, wow. You know, I mean, at the time I was really into John Sykes. And the dude, when Skinny was up there playing it, he looked like John Sykes. The hair, the moves. And I just, wow, you know? So, thanks to Scott, I got to meet a great musician that inspired me in so many different ways. And thank you for that, Mr. Webb. But when we started getting more tight, Scott and we talked about me moving in with him because he actually felt sorry for me being on the couch. And he knew it was hard for me to bring chicks home when, you know, Jonesy's already got one on one couch and Shannon's in the, you know, bedroom sleeping because he's the only one actually got a job and working. So, you know, all hail Shannon, man. Thank you for putting up with our shit. But I moved in with Scott. I was getting heavier into the local band. And Scott's home, with Scott living in one room. It was a 3-bedroom. Scott was in one. And we had a roommate named Cowboy. Now, Cowboy, he was some serious shit, man. He was farm cowboy all the way. And I'm not going to say redneck, because Cowboy was Cowboy. There was no one like him. And if you ever drank with him, partied with him, you knew what the hell I was talking about. So we had a house full of everybody. I mean, we all hung out there. And we would just sit up and talk and talk and talk, you know. Yeah, we'd be drinking, doing whatever, but we would be all there. We were all safe. There was no anxieties. There was no issues. We'd make fun of each other and then turn on to somebody else and somebody else. Everybody got their share. And Scott's wit, I mean, he was on target. The thing, though, is he was honest about it, too. Okay? He didn't pull back. Now, granted, Mr. Holm can bullshit with the best of them. And there had been times where we had that going on. And he'd been caught. He'd get aggravated. Oof. And it keeps going and going, going. But a lot of times we just sit around and listen to music. And in a lot of these different meetings, I would meet different people. And different ages. All about music. And we would get some teenagers in, and God bless Scott for this. Thank you. I was introduced to Hauser and Murren. Now, I get emotional a lot when I talk about these two, because they helped me in so many different ways in a foundation of music. You know, from the beginning, these guys were playing at Murren's house. Pookie was playing the drums, who were dating my cousin Amy at the time. And Hauser playing guitar, Murren bass, and they were having a good time. And they sounded like they were enjoying themselves. It didn't matter, like, what, with, no perfection needed. The smiles, man, the laughter. You know, and the chicks that came over and watched. Yeah, that was the fun thing. And when they'd come over to Scott's, we'd all sit around and jam and have a good old time. And it was a lot of fun. So later I'll get more into Hauser and Murren, because they're huge. But this is about Scott. So we got one weekend where, I don't know, there was some stuff going on, and Scott was a little anxious, I would say. And he was like, I just got this Indian ink in, man. Let's do some tattooing. Now, Scott already had a bunch of tattoos on his leg where he would just sit there and just put them on there. And he didn't have a tattoo gun. We were doing Indian ink with needle, okay? And that was like, wow, all right. I'd never had a tattoo before. I was a clean slate. So Scott and I were talking about it. And there, lo and behold, I got my first Scott Holm original tattoo. Okay? So I have an original piece on my left upper arm. Scott also did Mr. Scary, the Metallica symbol from the live shit Binge and Purge. We were watching that constantly, like every day. So was Hauser and Murren. We would watch it over at his place, and you know. But I got Scott to do that on my right upper arm. So I have two of Scott's original works on my arms. So I'm happy that I have Scott Holm on me. I mean, this legend of Iowa, and it's on my arm. That's just some great stories, man. And I mean, I'm honored to be a part of it. Now, a lot of people are like, Scott Holm this, Scott Holm that. What are you talking about? And he's legend to each and every one of us down there who got, you know, lucky enough to spend time with him. He had this ability to make you feel good about yourself, but yet when you look back at some of the comments, he was like, you know, back and forth, an insult with a, it's just a weird way to me. And I figured it out then, so I knew that when he was being sarcastic, there was funny between, or when he was full of shit. So, but that was one of the things we loved about Scott, is his presence. A couple of Halloweens, this guy, he was awesome with the face painting. Truly was. Scott Holm was a master of many, many things. So, one was the face paint, and he did the crow. And, oh my lord, that was just, it was beautiful. He won some contests with it, I do believe, as well. But it's just those little things. He did well with details. And he has some difficulties with girlfriends that would take advantage of him. I mean, I would sit there and just cringe when I would see how he was actually used up. And some of his girlfriends understood his sarcasm and used it against him, causing a lot of fights and using it as excuses to do more harm to him. Some have cheated on him, and it was pissing us all off, because we knew Scott was he was worth like three of them dumb. Sorry. Anyway, but Scott did a lot of things for me and didn't even know he was doing it. We would sit and just jam and come up with all kinds of different fun roles and scales, and you know, then we'd have Hauser and Murren come over, and Murren with his bass, Hauser playing guitar, and we would just jam around, have a good old time, you know. Then maybe, you know, a couple other musicians would come over, and we would just enjoy the music. So, when all in all, Scott opened the door with Murren and Hauser to me, and these two guys are like brothers. And every time, I always had an issue of leaving and coming back and leaving and coming back. And these guys were a big part of my life every time I'd come back to Iowa. I know family was too. Family was the biggest reason. But I also considered Murren and Hauser family. They were my brothers. And Scott too, but I lost track of Scott. You know, and I never knew where he ended up. And it was a mystery to me for the longest time. I did my searching and I found out, but then I just ignored it because it went away with the legend of Scott, it to me. I mean, if I were to see Scott now, I would probably hug him and cry like a little baby because of what he did for me. And the little small things that I remember, just the basic stuff, you know, they make me happy. It's a part of my therapy that I use is I'm using my positive history through music as well to remember the good times and to help me get through some of these bad times, you know. And Scott is a big part of that, because when I think about my time in Iowa and the music and everything, there are very few individuals I think about. Maybe a handful. I can tell you right off the bat, Scott. Okay, then you've got Mr. Webb. Then you've got Hauser, Murren, Pookie, and then Mr. Murren. Mr. Murren, I am so proud to say, is a part of the Hall of Fame as well. Mr. Murren, I say Mr. Murren because of respect. A lot of people just call him Big John. I call him Big John too, but now I have so much respect for what he did, not only for John, his son, but for all the kids that were coming up and playing. He built a small empire of stage gear, equipment out the yin yang. He spent money, great lighting equipment, you know, fog machines. He made his son and his friends professional. And anybody that needed or hired him, he was there. And he was a one-man team. So any chance I had, I would help him out. And he taught me so much behind the board, you know, and mixing and live shows and the game pitch, the lighting. I normally did the lighting for him so he could just work primarily on the board. So it was great times. And I owe a lot to Mr. Murren for that. He deserves every bit of that Hall of Fame. And he was a big part of the Iowa music that Scott introduced me to. So this is my tribute to Mr. Scott Hahn, a legend throughout Southwest Iowa. Musical genius in my mind. Hell of a tattoo artist. I've got two of them. A great sandwich maker. An awesome martial artist. A facial painter as well as guitars. He did a couple of great works on guitars. He knew the instruments. And all in all, had a great heart once you got past that rough exterior. So, I'm here to tell you, the legend of Scott Hahn will never die. As long as individuals like me, myself, and I are out there, Scott Hahn's legend will always live. I love you, Scott Hahn. Thank you for everything you've done for me and all of Southwest Iowa. This is Doobie, signing off. Peace out. Being Bipolar Special Edition. Ha ha! This is the end of the program, where I basically tell you this is the end of the program. So, you will stop listening now because it's the end of the program. Remember, this is the end of the program. So, subscribe. If you want to hear more, get a hold of me. But this is the end of the program. So stop listening. This is it. Welcome to Doobie's Madness. This is the end of the program. So you can stop listening now. It's okay.